Today is Saturday, December 26th, 2015, and this...
They say that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and that's not true. I left here with a rash and regret last time.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 533.
Las Vegas. I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this evening?
I'm well. How are you?
I am fantastic. Happy to be here.
Good.
Happy to be podcasting on a long holiday weekend. Always pleasant. Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
So this week, we're going to do something a little different than our normal show. We're going to talk about our wishes for the coming year, since it's that time and we do this every year. Are you excited to talk about 2016?
Sure. Make a wish upon a Christmas star.
Okay.
I don't know where that came from.
I don't either. Well, before we get into 2016, I thought we would recap our wishes from 2015 and see how we did.
Okay.
If any of them came true entirely, partially, not at all. So... how should we do this? Should we go through?
Let's just run through yours and then run through mine.
Okay.
And then we'll alternate with the 2016.
That sounds like a lovely plan. All right. My first wish for 2015 was that Fremont Street development would continue, but with less of a focus on bars. I was hoping to see more interesting restaurants and other attractions, perhaps something cool at Neonopolis. Now, nothing happened at Neonopolis. There really weren't any new attractions, so to speak, of in 2015, because the zip line was open in 2014.
Mm.
So I'm going to say this is a partial wish come true.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely more restaurant. There has been definitely more restaurant development on Fremont East and just the general downtown area in the past year. There's some delicious restaurants that we have yet to try mm-hmm. that I'm looking forward to. So... yeah, and I think that's going to continue. My guess is, not that we're doing predictions, we're doing wishes more so, but I do think we're going to see maybe a little bit more focus on restaurants down there based on how things have been going. And that's a good thing.
Yep.
Good choices. Now, it's nice to have...
drinks in both mason jars and baby bottles?
No. No. Oh. No. No baby bottles. So that was my first wish. My second wish... was that MGM Resorts would announce and begin working on something interesting and unexpected for the Harmon space. That has not come true. The Harmon is gone. There has been no announcement officially what they're going to do with that space. However, based on some of the comments from Jim Murren, it's probably going to be at least partially used for an expansion of Crystals.
Yep.
Boring. Want something a little different than retail, but... no official word yet, and we will obviously continue to follow that story as things happen.
Maybe they'll put a second restaurant with a phallic wooden sculpture in, and there will be...
like a sword fight at Crystals?
Yeah.
I don't know that we need two of those. I don't think so. My third wish was that Caesars would sell off multiple properties, specifically Rio, and then either Harrah's or... the Bally's Paris Planet Hollywood block. That has not occurred.
Nope.
No sales in Las Vegas of the Caesars properties. So, you know, I was partially right on one of my wishes came partially true in the other ones. Now, I had some honorable mentions as well. The first one is that Westgate renovations would maintain the cool design aspects while giving it enough of a facelift so it doesn't feel outdated. I think that's the case so far.
Yep.
They've done some nice touch-ups, some nice renovations, but mm-hmm. they've left some of the classic stuff alone.
Which I am happy with.
Yeah, so sure, we'll say that one came true. Fontainebleau, I think it was just that something would happen there. That has not happened.
Nope.
And then Binion's and Las Vegas Club. I think, I don't know what my specific, I just have in my notes Binion's and Las Vegas Club. I don't remember exactly what I said. My guess.
You didn't go back and listen to your golden words.
I only listened to yours because I had mine noted. I had my notes from last year.
Oh, okay.
My guess is that I was saying I hoped that something would be done with the hotels, that they would be renovated. And certainly that has not exactly happened, although at least we're seeing something happening with Las Vegas Club. So we'll give that maybe kind of a semi-partial almost yes.
A third?
Yeah. Another one, North Strip Properties proceeding as announced. Nothing's really happened much. There's been a little bit of activity at Resorts World, but it's extremely slow. I'm going to we'll talk a little bit about that one later on because I have some stuff related to 2016 there. And then finally, and this was a long shot wish, and it did not happen, and that was that Pink would announce a residency. Has not happened. I still think she will at some point, but it might be like 8 years away. It'll be like
I'd
the Lionel,
still be all over that, but
it'll be like the Lionel Richie thing where I'm just way ahead of my time and calling for a Pink residency. So those were my wishes. What were yours for last year?
My first wish was for SLS and Downtown Grand to remain open and improve. Well, they're both still open.
Yeah. I don't know that I'd categorize what they've done as improvement.
No, no. I was hoping that Rock in Rio would provide a boost to SLS. Nope.
Not so much.
Nope, nope, nope. More SLS food and drink specials aimed at locals and budget travelers.
You know, part of the deal with the Rock in Rio thing is that they haven't done anything else with that space. Like, they can use it for other events, and they're planning to, but they haven't yet. The next thing is scheduled for April. It's a country music festival. But other than that, they have not made use of that being a concert venue. So,
and the other thing was development on 3rd to draw people to Downtown Grand, which has not happened yet.
Nope. Still waiting.
My second wish was a free Fremont Street concert worth traveling for.
I don't think so.
Nope. They had some interesting stuff this year, but nothing that was like, oh, God, we got to book tickets and go.
Yeah, nor do I think they will anytime soon.
Yeah.
That's just not the nature of those concerts.
No.
So.
Unless a nostalgic band happens to.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then my last wish was publishing of The Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas with a positive reception.
I think that's occurred. It has been published and it has been getting good reviews.
Yay.
And I'm very pleased with that.
I am too.
Yeah.
My honorable mentions were, I don't know why I said this, but.
Because you love shopping.
I do. Unique Fremont Street retail modeled after Main Street. That didn't really happen, and I'm okay with this.
Okay. Yeah, you were looking for, like, vintage shops or cool, kind of quirky.
But I think there are other places you can go to find that if you need to. I don't know if Fremont necessarily needs that.
I agree.
Something connecting Fremont Street and Main Street Arts District?
I don't think so.
Like, yeah, some sort of. I think what I was saying there was either. I don't think I meant transportation. I think I meant something in between the two that could.
Yes.
Draw people.
Blend them together.
Yeah. Another downtown Las Vegas spa.
That has not happened.
However, this did. Improving the taxi experience. In other words, more accountability and competition. Accountability, not so much. Competition, oh yeah.
Yep. Viva Uber and Lyft. People have been posting pretty good experiences on the Facebook group about their experiences, and especially the pricing. So that's a good thing. I foresee us using those much more during our upcoming trips. It's a good thing, I think.
Yep. Competition is good.
Yep. All right. So let's look ahead to 2016. Why don't you go first?
Okay.
Tell us what you got. And we have not compared notes. So if there may be crossover, I don't know.
I didn't really go into a lot of detail.
That's okay.
Let's see. I'm going to start with my wish is that the whole let's charge for parking thing doesn't take off.
Okay.
Either that they try it and it just fails spectacularly, or they decide not to even try it.
And this is the rumor that MGM Resorts is exploring charging for parking.
Yeah.
Not only necessarily during
events
at the Las Vegas Arena, but also just in general.
Mm-hmm.
Which We don't know if that's going to happen or not. It's just the story is that it's being discussed at high levels.
Mm-hmm. But my wish is that either it doesn't or it's such a horrible idea that they decide to drop it.
Yeah.
I just feel that people are tired of being nickel and dimed every which way. And this is just one more thing on top of that.
Okay.
Even though I don't drive when I'm there generally. We might rent a car for one day, but...
And, you know, the whole notion... So there's been a lot of discussion about this on our Facebook group and other forums. And the whole notion, I know some people have said, well, it makes sense that they would charge during events. Well, you know, there are other arenas in Vegas, and they haven't had to charge for events at MGM Grand, at Mandalay Bay, at Thomas and Mack.
Right.
So the notion that they need to... And there's plenty of parking without that, so...
And just because they do it in other cities doesn't mean... They have to do it everywhere.
I don't know.
I
really... It's obviously a money grab that if they do it, and I really hope it doesn't come to that. But it's one of those nice things that makes the Las Vegas Strip a little different, that there isn't a fee for parking.
Yep.
So I would hope that that gets maintained, but who knows. All right, well, my first wish, kind of along a similar vein, I would say, is that someone on the Strip, one of the properties on the Strip... becomes and markets itself as sort of the anti-MGM, anti-Caesars. Now, Stratosphere has kind of done this, but not, it hasn't really taken off. And what I mean by that, and I, you know, if I had to guess who would be able to do this best, it might be like Tropicana.
Hmm.
I suppose SLS maybe.
Casino Royale?
Well, no. Yeah, kind of, but that's so small. See, now that's the thing. There are different properties that have done different aspects of this. Because what I'm talking about is really good gambling odds, mm-hmm. low limits
mm-hmm.
at all times, not just as a quirky, like, hey, we always have a $5 table after 3 a.m., you know, some shit like that. I want, you know, I'm talking about the mid-tier. Oh, Treasure Island could actually do this too, although I don't see that happening.
No.
Decent room rates at a mid-tier or decent room quality at a mid-tier mm-hmm. price.
Yeah, decent rates and quality that makes it a good value.
And certainly, you know, these places have to make a profit. I certainly recognize these are businesses.
Right.
But I think...
There's a market that's not being served on the Strip.
Not to its fullest. Like I said, there's bits and pieces of it happening some... places, but not all of it. Like some of the Caesars properties obviously cater to the middle market. You can get a fairly easy room comp there if you play there with any regularity. The standard rates aren't that bad at some of their properties, but then they have shitty gambling in their casinos. So there's nobody who's doing really great odds, decent room rates, good drink specials. Again, you can find some cheap drinking at Casino Royale, but you know, and their rooms, I guess, are okay, but the rates aren't great,
mm-hmm.
considering what it is. Really good Players Club specials. What I mean by that is simple stuff, like 200 points on your card, you get a free buffet. Just mm-hmm. very easy, basic things like that. And again, you know, it has to be something where it's going to be profitable in the long term. I'm not looking for them to give things away because for people who just walk in the door necessarily, but
there's got to be a way to loosen some of that stuff up and still make money.
Right. And the other thing is just because it drives people so nuts is no resort fee.
Mm-hmm.
So having all those things, obviously it's a long shot. I doubt that we'll see it, but I think if somebody were able to do this, it would certainly strike a chord. And like I said, Stratosphere has tried some of this. And I can't even remember what their Take Back the Strip, is that what their thing was called?
I think so, but something I'm not 100% like that.
But I don't know that they have the marketing dollars to pull it off.
Because
mm-hmm. other than if you're on their email list or if you've seen their promo videos and signed up for their email list, it's not like it's out there. It's not that prominent. So I don't know. Time will tell. It probably won't happen, but that is one of my wishes.
Hmm.
What do you have for number two?
This one came up fairly recently because of some stuff that happened in the last few days, and I would like to see some improvements to the pedestrian areas. For example, a walkway over Bellagio and Planet Hollywood, or some barriers set up. Maybe not necessarily concrete ones, but something that could stop traffic yet is still aesthetically pleasing.
So this is as a result of the woman plowing into the strip and killing someone and injuring a bunch of people near Planet Hollywood last week. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not that long ago when we first started going to Vegas that there weren't that many overpasses. Mm-hmm. There was a lot more crossing of Las Vegas Boulevard on the street level.
A lot more jaywalking.
And I think that it's been a good thing that you have to use those overpasses. Mm-hmm. So I certainly think there are a couple intersections that could benefit from that. The one you named, for sure. The other one is probably Harrah's Mirage.
Yes.
But for the most part, you know, they've kind of killed that whole crossing at street level. And I think, yeah, I think that's probably smart.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. It'd be nice to have an easier gauntlet to run through with fewer characters, but that's a whole different issue. And also free cattle prods to move Mosiers along.
They would just hand out cattle prods and say, use these at will?
Yeah, you know how...
That's a nice wish.
You know, they could brand them everything.
I'd be okay with...
casino logos.
I'd even be okay with renting a cattle prod. They don't have to give it to me. Mm-hmm. If it's okay to use, I'll pay a few bucks to use it.
Yeah.
Or something, some sort of a...
Yeah, I don't know if the TSA would allow you to take that home as a souvenir.
Yeah. Okay. I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two for me is related to the North Strip, and it's a trifecta.
Ooh.
Yeah, a trifecta of North Strip wishes. And the first one, even the first one is almost a two-parter, and that is, again, for Fontainebleau and or the Wet and Wild Land to be sold to someone who can and actually will do something with it.
Yes, please.
As well as an announcement about what their development plans are.
Yes.
So that, you know, we talk about Fontainebleau fairly often just because it's been sitting there mostly built, empty for so many years. But that chunk of land between Fontainebleau and SLS is just an empty parking lot. And it is, I think it's actually a little bit larger than the Fontainebleau lot. There's a lot of potential for that.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some rumors about both of those spaces. I know on the Vegas Tripping Board at one point, Chuck Monster alluded to some rumblings that Steve Wynn had been possibly expressing some interest in those. And that would be fantastic because we know he would actually do something with it. Whether or not any of that happens, I don't know. But I would love for somebody who can actually and will actually do something with those spaces to come in, buy one or both of them, develop something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see some more action. The second part of that is Resorts World in full construction mode.
Mm-hmm.
All we've seen so far is a bunch of mentions that they've been getting their shit in order behind the scenes and some work on their parking garage so that their construction workers have a place to park while they work on it. We need to see some cranes.
Yep.
We need some full-on shit happening there very soon or else I'm going to start to lose hope in this. Genting Gaming, who owns it, certainly has the ability to do this, but okay, let's get shit moving, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to see full construction mode for Aeolon as well. That's going to happen. It sounds like they're going to be breaking ground sometime this spring, but I'm anxious to see. I just want to see cranes.
Yeah.
I just want to see cranes on that end of the strip.
Mm-hmm.
Shit being built. Shit that's going to be finished.
Things getting done.
So I'm hopeful for as many of those areas to be in. They're not going to be finished in 2016, but let's see some major development happening. That would make me happy. So there you go. That's number two. Cool. What do you have for
my
number
third
three?
One. My third one is my own personal wish that would probably benefit just me.
Oh, this should be interesting.
Three words.
Yes.
Spice Girls residency.
Oh, I'm on board. I'm on board. That's good. I like, I don't think I have any entertainment because I have some honorable mentions again. I don't think I really have any entertainment. Oh, I do have one. Yeah, I have a few, but they're not as specific as that. So I'm with you.
Okay.
Let's see this happen.
I'll take a tour. That's not really Vegas specific.
Right. But it'd be fun to have a Spice Girls residency in Vegas.
Oh my God.
I think they'd do all right.
Ever.
Yeah, I think they'd do all right if they did like a month or something.
Mm-hmm.
If it was their only U.S. dates, they would definitely do well, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, my third is new ownership downtown. I would like to see new owners at one of the following one or more of the following casinos. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's not already
established a presence downtown.
Yes.
Okay.
Plaza.
Yes.
Downtown Grand.
Yes.
Binion's and or Four Queens.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of them can use some help.
Plaza and Binion's.
Yes. I'd like to see somebody come in that does. No, I'm not. When I say okay, so what I'm tempted to say is I'd like somebody to come in and do what Derek has done, but I'm not saying that in that I want those places to be a cookie cutter of the D or Golden Gate or any.
Right.
Somebody to come in and pump some life and money into these places,
mm-hmm.
and make them fun and worth checking out. You know, Downtown Grand's not that far off. They just need somebody to figure out how the fuck to get people in there.
Yeah.
And to keep some restaurants open.
Yep.
I don't think the current ownership has the fundage to mm-hmm. fully market that place in the right way. From just things I've heard, their marketing budget is minuscule. So it'd be nice for some new money to come in, somebody who's willing to make it happen. I don't know who that will be, but there was an article in the Review Journal a couple weeks ago about the ownership of Plaza. And of mm-hmm. course they used to own Las Vegas Club, and it talked about how they're doing all these things to, they're not doing shit.
No. Like the Omaha bar, you mean?
There's just been a number of things mentioned, but it's like,
no,
they renovated the rooms, and I've heard they're already looking a little bit worn, shabby,
used,
but they've done a lot of stuff half-assed. I don't know. I have a hard time taking them seriously because they barely any of their restaurants have stayed open.
Sometimes I have dreams about Vegas, as I'm sure we all do.
And an awesome dream.
Oh, I wish, Lionel Richie. Sometimes I'll dream that I'm hanging out at the Plaza, and I always wake up with a very unsettled feeling.
Really?
Yeah, just like, I don't know. Yeah.
So anyway, I would like to see new ownership. I just don't
like
see
it was haunted or something.
They've gotten money from the Las Vegas Club sale. So if they're serious about
improving their property,
they can
got
do
the
it.
Cash.
But I haven't seen any indication that's actually happening. So
I don't see them doing a quality job. I see them doing it half-assed.
Right. Yeah.
If they do anything at all.
Yeah.
And I don't want that.
No. I don't care who owns these places, to be quite mm-hmm. honest. I just want to see them do well, and I want somebody who's going to be able to prop them up and make them work. And mm-hmm. we've got some good ownership downtown. El Cortez has good ownership. Golden Nugget, even though I'm not necessarily thrilled with some of the things that happened there, I think they're definitely committed to keeping that property in great shape and mm-hmm. doing pretty good things with it. So I'd like to see someone come in who can do some of those types of things. Okay, so do you have any honorable mentions, or am I on my own here?
I have a couple.
Okay, why don't you go with yours?
You talked about the North Strip redevelopment.
I did.
When is Lucky Dragon slated to open? Is that this year or is that next year?
I think it's 2016.
Okay.
I think so. I'm not 100% certain there, but I mean, it's fairly far along. So
yeah, it seems like the construction pictures show it moving right along.
We haven't talked a ton about Lucky Dragon. So for those who aren't familiar, that is a new property that's being developed on Sahara, just west of Las Vegas Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
So my wish is that it will open. And that it will show SLS how to take advantage of a weird location.
Huh. Okay.
How to make it engaging and make people want to go out of the way to go there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like that. All right. You know what? Why don't you do all your honorable mentions? Because some of mine kind of go together.
Okay. I have two downtown ones.
Okay.
Las Vegas Club announces new name and more details about their plans, and that it's something that makes me very excited about it, which I have a good feeling about what they're going to do there. But
I've been thinking a lot about the projects that are kind of pending up in the air. The Resorts World, Las Vegas Club.
I guess my wish is to be excited about an upcoming project.
Yeah.
To make that more general.
You know, I was and am still kind of am excited about Resorts World, but the longer it's being drawn out, the more I'm like, okay, come on, let's just get on with it.
Yeah.
But I want to see what they do because I like the idea that they're going to come back with something that's themed, which mm-hmm. I think is a good idea for mm-hmm. the strip. Alon, I'm not sure what to expect.
I know it's going to be beautiful.
I'm sure it will. I don't know if it's going to
be... Is that
going to
be a place where I'm comfortable hanging out?
Right. Is it going to be something that's for me? And I suspect not, but mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see. I just think it might be more of a high-end mm-hmm. experience that wouldn't necessarily cater to something I'm looking for.
Uh-huh.
We'll see. I'm curious to see what they put forth.
Yes.
But Las Vegas Club, because we spend more time downtown, some of the things Derek has done are a little bit more of a known quantity. I'm certainly excited about that one more than any, just because it's the sweet spot for where I'm at in my life right now.
It is. It really is.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to that announcement too. Mm-hmm. I would imagine we'll be hearing more soon. Anything else?
Yeah. So we have a pizza place that we love. We have a pancake place that we love. There are certain foods that we love downtown. I want a place that I can go and make it rain tacos in my face downtown.
Oh, good downtown.
You like know, a delicious downtown taco. I've had some at La Comida that I like, but I don't dream about.
We need to try the place at Container Park.
Okay.
Because, again, someone posted just today on the Facebook group a picture of some tacos that looked awfully good.
So this might already exist. I just need go there.
We may just have not discovered it yet.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll have to check that out. Yes, I'm with you on that one, though.
All right.
We just haven't found it or it doesn't exist, but.
Mm-hmm. My final Vegas wish isn't really so much Vegas, but it's more for the show.
Oh.
That dogs are on their best behavior during the show.
Tonight it's pretty good.
Yeah.
They're both quiet and sleeping for the time being. I'm with you on that wish. Some people are entertained by our dog's antics. Others, like myself, not so much.
I worry that it throws us off our game sometimes.
It throws me off. It gets me pissed off. All right. My honorable mentions. The first few here are related. Well, you don't know. Let me skip ahead to Tropicana, which I mentioned earlier. Tropicana has fairly new owners, the people mm-hmm. who own M Resort. And I would like to see them make some noteworthy improvements. Specifically,
yes.
The most noteworthy or the most obvious one is better dining options.
Oh, yeah.
But also a noteworthy showroom act. That showroom has floundered. They haven't really found any use for it on mm-hmm. a consistent basis. I would like to see them, whether it's a headliner, that would seem most obvious to me that they would be able to find a headliner to draw people in, or even some sort of production show. I don't know what that would be.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I'd like to
Tits
see them.
Ahoy, the resurrection of Jubilee.
I'd like to see them hit their stride with a showroom act that's noteworthy and then better dining options.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Thank you.
I feel like they had a lot of potential.
With the previous owners.
Yeah.
And they did some things.
They did some things. I've heard the renovated rooms are really nice.
Uh-huh. They brightened up the casino.
Mm-hmm. But I also feel that they have a lot more potential that they haven't lived up to.
Yeah, I agree. My other honorable mentions are largely related to the park, which is opening mostly in April. So I'd like overall for the park, which is the area between New York and Monte Carlo, that's going to be sort of like the Link.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see that surprise us in the same way the Link did. Because we weren't expecting a lot out of the Link.
Mm-hmm.
And once it opened and we saw it, we're like, yeah, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, we'll go drink here.
Yeah, I mean, they have some neat little shops. The restaurants and bars are pretty good. I don't know how they've been doing business-wise. I know that there have been some closings and they're trying to find their ground.
And I think a couple were meant to be temporary, too.
Were they?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Or maybe they spun it that way.
I don't know about that. Kitson just closed, but the whole chain is going under. So,
okay.
Or most of it. I know a bunch of the stores are. But like Brooklyn Bowl seems to be doing well,
mm-hmm.
and Yard House, which obviously it's a chain, which is not excited, but it's a chain that has a really good beer selection. So
yeah.
O'Shea's seems to be doing well. So there's some interesting things mm-hmm. there. I'd like to see the park be like, oh, this is fun. This is a cool place to hang out. There's some life there.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause even if you don't like the stuff at the Link, there's no denying when you walk through there, especially in the evening.
Yeah.
There's people hanging out. It's bustling.
There's some energy.
There's some energy. So let's see that with the park. You know, obviously it's going to be similar, but I think there might be a little bit more green space. Might be a little bit more, maybe it might work a little bit more for actually just hanging out instead of just walking through.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. The other one that's related to that is that the new theater at the park, which is not opening till the end of the year, but that's the new 5,000-seater that they're putting in at Monte Carlo.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to see that rival the Coliseum, but skewing
younger,
a little bit younger with its headliners. No idea who that would be. But I would like to see a similar thing to what they have at the Coliseum, where they have five or six acts that rotate throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe a little bit more skewing to 30s, 40s, 50s rather than...
Train?
Not my thing, but... Not my thing, but that actually is probably at least in the
demo.
The demo, yeah. So I don't know if that'll happen or not, but I would like to see that. Finally, the new arena at the park.
Yeah, I almost did something, but I wasn't sure how to word it, so.
Well, they're going to do a lot of different stuff there. It's an arena. They're mm-hmm. going to have possibly hockey, which I do hope happens. They're going to have, the touring acts. They've already announced some. Garth Brooks is going to do some shows.
Yep.
George Strait's going to do some shows. Who knows what else? I'd like to see them do something, and I have no idea who this would be. It would have to be somebody very big.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see somebody doing something like what Billy Joel is doing at Madison Square Garden.
Uh-huh.
One show a month. I think he does one show or one weekend a month. Every month. All year long.
Cool.
Yeah. But again, it would have to be enough of a draw that the people are going to travel for that.
Yeah.
I don't know who that would be. Now, Billy Joel is obviously tied to New York. It makes sense for him to do that at Madison Square Garden. I don't know who could do that in Vegas. It wouldn't be somebody from Vegas.
I was going to say, how would the Killers have a large enough?
No. Somebody who wants to continue performing but not constantly be touring,
mm-hmm.
but is big enough to draw an arena-sized crowd. I have no idea, but I think it would be kind of a cool, different thing that we haven't seen at other Vegas entertainment venues.
Yeah.
Of that size, at least. A different play on the resident performer thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I doubt that it'll happen, but
that
could be something
cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
So those are my honorable mentions. We'll see.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to 2016, see what happens.
Yeah.
That's the thing about Vegas. It's always changing. It's always fun to
speculate
and guess and hope for the things that we, that we like. So, all right. So before we get to some phone calls, let's talk about our friends at
Viator. It gives you more.
Thank you.
You're
welcome.
All right. We love Viator.
Yes.
Viator is sticking with us for at least another year. We got that news the other day.
Hooray.
Every year we go into very high pressure negotiation session where I sit at one end of a long table and the Viator people sit at the other end of a long table. And we have a very, very high pressure discussion. There are pieces of paper slid back and forth with offers and counter offers. And then we come to an agreement to continue this relationship for another year.
Actually, you know what? Put up with our shenanigans for another year.
You know how this really works? It's me saying, hey, we'd love if you'd continue as a sponsor at the same rate that you've been paying. Is that cool? And they're like, yeah, that's good. And then we just continue doing this.
And then we say, hooray.
Awesome. We're happy to do this. We love Viator. New Year's Eve, it's very, very, very near. It's only a couple nights away, but I wanted to mention it one more time because this is a cool thing and it's Vegas related. Viator has bought out what will be the top four pods on the high roller observation/Ferris wheel for New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if ever you're going to ride this,
this would be the
cool time to do it. And those are the pods you want to be in because they're going to stop for, I can't remember if it's 15 minutes or half an hour. You're going to be up there at the top of the Ferris wheel for the entire fireworks display at midnight. And they've got booze, an open bar in the car. champagne toast at midnight.
They do not have bathrooms in the car, however.
No. Empty your bladder before you go and then just load up.
Yep.
I think Kelly, our buddy at Viator, may have said something about special engraved champagne flutes.
Ooh.
I don't know. But anyway, you're going to have a champagne toast. You're going to have an open bar. Celebration cupcakes for the duration of the ride.
Okay.
Booze and cupcakes, fireworks.
Vegas.
That's,
sign me up.
I know, exactly. I've never wanted to be on the high roller more than this, but we're not going to be there, unfortunately. Obviously, it's only 4 pods. There's very limited space. You only have a couple more days to get in on this. It's a rare chance to see some amazing views of some cool fireworks. The fireworks at in Las Vegas on the Strip on New Year's Eve are a big deal. It's much more impressive than anything they do on the 4th of July. So,
baby, you're a firework.
Well, thank you. You're a firework as well, Katy Perry. So if you want to get in on that, you can still do it. Viator.com is the place to go. You can use their iOS and Android apps. If you're going to book something, whether it's this or something else that is available through Viator, click our link at 500bymidnight.com. We get bonus points. They've got all kinds of other cool attractions, shows, activities, adventures to make your vacation great in Vegas or elsewhere. So support our sponsor for being so awesome. Viator.com. As always, we love you, Viator. So, moving along. Facebook group post of the week. Even though it's beyond Christmas now, the post of the week I chose is Christmas related. Dorian posted a couple days ago a picture of a Vegas related Christmas tree ornament, and he just said, post them because you know you've got them. Mm-hmm. And then there were a bunch of people posting their Vegas ornaments. I liked seeing those.
We could have posted a couple, but we decided not to have a tree this year.
For dog-related reasons and for lazy-related reasons.
Well, that too.
We haven't had a tree in years.
I have a little one that sits on the table.
When was the last time you even put that up, though?
Oh, probably 3 years ago.
I think it's more than that.
5.
There, maybe. So, anyway, I like seeing people's Vegas-related Christmas ornaments, so that was fun. So, I will post a link to that in the show notes, and as always, you can find our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/500 or click on the Facebook icon on our website. All right, we've got a bunch of phone calls. Let's get to them now.
Hundy, Dan from Los Angeles calling after a couple days in Las Vegas to start the college football bowl season. The length of your most recent episode was the perfect length to get me from the Strip out to Baker, so I figured I'd call with a few thoughts. I placed a karma wager alongside my sizable wager on BYU, who proceeded to play the worst first quarter in the history of man. So that's sorry about that.
It's all right. Thanks for trying.
There were a couple things in the show that I wanted to touch on. The Viva Las Arpas is fantastic. It's on the edge of the post-stratosphere sketch zone. I would say if you're going to take your own car or cab or rideshare, that shopping center is fine. I wouldn't feel great about walking to it, but the food is excellent. On Zarkana's closing, I've seen most of the Cirque shows in Las Vegas except the Michael Jackson show and Chris Angel. And the problem is, it's fine. It's a basic Cirque show. The problem is, it's a basic Cirque show. And, you know, you've got Mystère and the other shows, you know, the special, whether it's Ka with its storyline or the Beatles Love or Michael Jackson are all way more interesting for your average tourist. In its original New York iteration, it had music by the guy from Empire of the Sun, and they proceeded to cut all that out when they brought it to Vegas. So the one really interesting thing it had going for it got cut. You know, if you've got free My Vegas, you want to see it before it hits the road, that's fine, but not worth it. The last thing I want to call about is when I called you guys over the summer, my phone dropped out and I forgot to call back. There's 2 weeks left or two or three weeks left of the Picasso exhibit at the Bellagio Gallery. And it is incredible. Everybody should go see it. It's mostly his print lithography work, but there's 6 or 7 paintings from the family's private collection, a couple which have never been shown publicly. They're really incredible. I think it runs until about the 9th or 10th of January. So if you get the chance, go see it. It's really worthwhile. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you and all the listeners. And go Vegas.
All right. Thanks,
same
Dan.
To you. Thank you.
Great call. Good tip on the Picasso exhibit.
Yeah. Good to know about Zarkana, too.
Yep. All right.
Even though it won't be around, it's good to know the reasons behind the...
All right. We'll hear more from Dan shortly as well. Next up.
Hey, Tim, Michelle. It's Richard from Toronto. Some people know me as Rico. I'm in Vegas right now for Christmas week, and I'm in the middle of my trip. And the theme of this trip has changed. A couple of months ago, I was listening to another podcast from our friends at the Vegas Stripping, and they did an episode all about change, and it really hit me that it's time to change things up. I've been coming to Vegas for, you know, probably 20 years and have our favorite little spots. So I'm here with my brother, and we decided to only go to places we both have never been. So so far, the trip has been pretty interesting. Checked into...
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that we've, and partly because of this podcast and wanting to review new things, we always try to work in at least a couple new things, and I do like that we do that. It's hard to do sometimes, just because there's so many favorites.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll do stuff on your guy trip, and you're like, oh, we need to do that on our next trip.
Yeah, sometimes it's good to challenge yourself with some new things when you start to fall into a comfort zone. And even as much, I think when we recorded our show at VIMF, I mentioned one of the things I was trying to do often during that trip is, even when we went to familiar restaurants, is to order something I normally wouldn't order. Even just mixing it up like that, it's...
Unless you have something that you crave when you're not there.
Sure. Well, I understand that.
I'm going to order some Dupars pancakes. But I might not order them every time I go to Dupars.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
There's just so much to experience in Las Vegas that sometimes it's nice to challenge yourself to do something new. Bit. So it's kind of cool that that the VT podcast inspired Richard to mix up his trip a little bit.
Cool.
Of course, the Aria. The Course Weeks have that great Toto washlet toilet, which is amazing. And highly recommend it. You know, the first night we went to Lago at Bellagio. Italian restaurant with very small, more like tapas servings. They recommend 3 to 4 per person. The food was very underwhelming. I mean, it was okay, the dishes. I mean, we had some pasta dishes. The pizza was so small. The Caesar salad was like, felt like 4 little leaves. The thing that really saves that restaurant is that beautiful view of the fountains. We were lucky to sit right by the window, so it was an amazing view with average food. And that's all I can say about Lago. Tonight, I had the privilege, actually, to go to E! By Jose Andres at the Cosmo. And that's that very small, private dining room. And, you know, the it's one of those 22-course tasting menus. It's around $190 per person, but, you know, they'll ask you if you want truffles, and that'll be an extra $100 per person. And, of course, if you want the wine tasting menu, I think it's also another $100. So it's a little pricey, but you will experience some of the most interesting and tasty food that it's almost like hard to explain. I mean, it's food that's kind of broken down and turned into foam, and just it's really interesting what they do. I think the dinner lasts around almost 2 hours, but it is almost like entertainment. It's almost like theater. I can't recommend it more. I think you have to call around 3.5 months before your trip to Vegas, because of the between 8 to 9 people per serving. There's 2 servings a night. There's a 5:30 and I think a 9:30 serving. And but it is truly amazing. Afterwards, we went to Jubilee. Both of us have never seen a classic Vegas showgirl show, and I guess we wanted to see it before it was closing. Loved the boobies. And the cheese factor, it's 11 out of 10. I mean, it was, I guess the fact I know it's closing and this is probably the last time I'll ever see a show like that, that I really did enjoy it. I was actually having a fun time. I mean, the show is just so, you know, it's, I think the mess, but it's just like so splendid to witness it before it goes.
How was the comic?
So that's so far halfway through my trip. Really looking forward on Monday to go to the Wayne Newton Estate. I'll probably call next week to give you a review of Casa Shenandoah. And that's my trip report for now. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thanks for that report.
Yeah.
I have no desire to go to Lago based on the reviews.
Yeah, the reviews have been mixed. And the best thing about the place, as he said, is the view.
Yeah. The food reviews, I've heard more bad than good.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's expensive.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we love about these calls. We get to hear about these things. So.
Yep. Stay away from this. Go see this.
Yep.
Yep. It's helpful.
All right. We mentioned the High Roller earlier during our Viator segment. Let's get a call about that splendid attraction.
Hey, it's Jan. I'm from Los Angeles. And my husband, Ben, and I are in Las Vegas, and we listen to your show every single week. We always listen on the way on our drive. And we just went on the High Roller and the happy hour cart, and we drank a whole bunch. So I'm super drunk, and it's like 3 p.m. So I just wanted to tell you how it was fun, but I'm just going to tell you that it was difficult for me because it seemed like there's no way out, and it's a little bit difficult if you're claustrophobic. So that would be my warning to people. If you are... Oh, and if you are claustrophobic, it's probably not the best idea to go in there because it just feels like there's no way out. Anyway, I just want to tell you, we really love your show, and you have the most soothing voices. And sometimes I fall asleep while we're listening, and we have to rewind it so I can listen to you again. Not because you're boring, but because your voices are beautiful. Anyway, I hope you're having a nice day. We'll call you again, probably. All right, bye-bye.
There's so much I love about that call. First of all, I hope they don't fall asleep while they're driving when they're listening to
us. Oh, yeah, good point.
3 p.m., having a good time. I've been there.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's so great.
It's Vegas. Day drinking is fun in Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time on the High Roller, and we'll hear more from Jan in a little
bit. I enjoyed that call very much.
I did, too. It was very nice of her to say such nice things about her voices.
Yes, thank you so much for listening.
All right, next up.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Wendell and Tiffany from Denton, Texas, and just wanted to call and tell you we had a great time in Vimp. I meant to call in earlier, but we've been hitting a bunch of casinos in Oklahoma and Louisiana, so it's not Vegas, so we won't talk about that. But anyway, I got to hang out with you guys Thursday night before Vimp started, because y'all were there and I was there. I got there Wednesday night, and we had a great time, so that's about it, man. Hopefully we will see y'all next year. We're planning to go. Take care.
Awesome. Glad
cool,
you had
thanks.
A good time.
Yeah.
It was fun to see you, and I'm sure we'll see you again next year.
Yes, I've seen his pictures of the various gambling establishments he's been visiting, and it's been fairly profitable. So
I hope so.
Yay.
Hey. All righty. Next up. Oops. Next up.
Michelle, hi, Tim. It's Donald from New Hampshire again. I was listening to my call on the podcast last night, and I sounded exactly like I had the hangover head that I did have. Anyway, just wanted to follow up on a couple things. I was confusing at the end talking about the room, so guys probably figured it out, but stay on the Flamingo Hotel side of the Cromwell and not the Flamingo Street side. And then a couple other things. We went downtown to the Zydeco Po' Boys, which is on Carson Street. It was really good if you like Southern food, so anyone that's visiting that cares to have old school Louisiana type red beans and rice and gumbo is an excellent place to eat. Not expensive, very casual. And then the other place that we really enjoyed was Holstein's in the Cosmo. We had a couple of burgers and a couple of milkshakes. Place was really crowded and noisy, but the food was excellent. And one more point about the Cromwell is that lobby bar. I'll call it the lobby bar. It's right next to the check-in area. It was really awesome. The bartenders there were excellent. The drinks were really good. It's like a nice, quiet bar that you don't have video poker machines glaring you in the face if you'd rather not play video poker. That's it. Enjoyed the podcast. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Thank you for that call. Yeah, I like that bar a lot, too. It's called Bound.
Good They've service. Good delicious menu, drinks.
Nice bartenders.
Yeah. Holstein's used to be our jam, and we just haven't been there in a while.
Shit changes, you know?
It's interesting, because it's shifted to Cina Poblano.
I know.
If we go to Cosmo and we have one meal, that's where we're going.
And there's no reason that it's not like we suddenly don't like Holstein's.
Right.
It's just, yeah, things move. Things are fluid in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And when you do try new places, like we talked about earlier, then sometimes some of the old favorites get bumped. That's okay, though. It's always good to have more options than we need, I think.
I agree. Yeah.
All right. Moving along to our next call.
Hey, 5 Honey, 5 Midnight. My name is Tom from SoCal. Go with that. Just got back from Vegas a couple days ago. I'm going to give you a quick trip report. Hopefully it's not terrible, which means it will be. City of the Cosmopolitan, as everyone should at least once. It's friggin' amazing. So on the second day there, we noticed that the black drapes that were around the... I don't even know what that bar is called. It's been a while. Well, that bar, the black drapes were down, so they had the new bar open. It wasn't finished yet, but we could see it, and it's pretty cool. It's vastly different from what it was before. It looked like two separate bars. It's pretty cool looking. I didn't think to get a picture, so I was kind of drinking at the time. Ate at the Henry for the first time. It was kind of disappointing. I expected more from it. But I did eat at Cena Poblano, which was really good, actually. I didn't think it would be, but it was really good. Went down to downtown and played Sigma Derby for the first time, which is awesome. You could literally play that thing for hours. It is really cool. It was a lot of fun. And the people around there are usually a really good group of people to have fun with. Went to the Link. No one ever talks about this, and I don't know why. It's called the Hot Doggery, and it's the best hot dog I've ever had. So go to the Hot Doggery. I think that's pretty much it. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Thanks for that report. We have not tried the Hot Doggery. It's Haute Doggery. We have not tried that. We don't do a lot of hot dog eating in Vegas other than Coney.
It's Coney's.
Yeah. That's a good tip, though. Appreciate that. The Henry, yeah. I've always found the Henry to be mildly, it's not disappointing necessarily. It's just,
I feel like it's overpriced for what it is.
Yeah. I'm never
overwhelmed. Like, this is so fantastic.
Maybe 3 or 4 times. And it's always been like, meh, that was fine. It was a meal.
Right. It provided a good base for the drinks I'm going to go have at the bar at Cosmo.
Of the restaurants that I've eaten at Cosmopolitan, that's the one I would least miss if it closed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or change to something else, which is more likely, I think. All right. Thanks for that report, sir. Let's check in again with Richard.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. It's Richard from Toronto again. Just one more thing. I was walking through the Bally's Bazaar last night on the way to Jubilee, and I was actually quite shocked by how many stores are closed. Now, I'm not sure what the count was when they opened last year. It really seems like half of the stores seem closed. I know there's still no work being done on Wahlburgers. There is a banner up, but looks like nothing's going on there. But when you walk through the aisles, it looks like half the stores are closed or never opened. So I don't think things are going well in the much hype Bally's Bazaar. All right. Catch you later. Bye.
Thank you for that report.
That does not surprise me.
No, I know the times that we've walked through there, the stores on the outer edges, I don't think they've ever had anything in there, or not much. Those spaces have seemed like they have not been able to rent those out. So, yeah, I'm not that shocked by that. I don't know. I don't know what they could possibly put in there to make that interesting, but I don't know. At least there's something there, I suppose. I don't know. It's hard to get excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next up.
Hey, 500 Dan from LA again. Remember the other point from the episode I wanted to talk about, hockey in Las Vegas. The way things stand, the NHL isn't going to expand with just one team. They're going to bring in two, and the other obvious candidate is Quebec City. So it depends as much or more on the state of the Canadian economy than it does Las Vegas. The arenas, you know, they're almost done with it. It looks fantastic. So if the other possibility would be to move a team, Phoenix Coyotes, have been rumored for a little while that they might be a fallback option to move to Vegas if the Quebec expansion project doesn't happen. I got to tell you, the Kings fans, every time the Kings play this new team, if it happens, it'll be all Kings fans. It'll be unbelievable, and that's good for a few nights of the year. I wonder how sustainable it is. Anyway, just wanted to mention that. Keep up the great work. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. After our discussion about hockey on the last show, there was a rather extensive debate on the Facebook group about whether or not there is sustainability of that sport in Las Vegas.
He's got a good point about either moving an existing team or expanding to two teams because you don't want an odd number of teams.
Right. Yeah.
Just for scheduling.
Yeah. I think either way, I think something will happen and Vegas will get one. The discussion is very interesting, and I don't think any people, there's some people very passionate about, no, this will never survive, and others are like, yeah, it probably will. I don't know that you can compare it to other cities, though, because Las Vegas is very different than other major cities in terms of just how it functions and how much depends on tourism, and I don't know. So I know some people are comparing it to Miami, and, you know, I don't know that that's necessarily,
What about Orlando? Would that be similar?
Does Orlando have a hockey team?
I don't know. I should know.
Well, the Anaheim Ducks, I suppose, would be kind of comparable. That's not Orlando, of course. I don't know, but that's Southern California. They've got enough people to support. Shit, I don't know. I think that it's going to be a combination of the casino industry, the resort industry buying up a lot of tickets, as well as a certain number of locals that have season tickets. But I don't know. I don't know what that mix would be. The first 4 or 5 years, it's going to be just fine because of the novelty factor. It's what happens after that that matters. And again, like I said last time, like any major city, it all comes down to whether or not they put a competitive team on the ice.
They do have the Florida Panthers. I'm not sure if they're based out of Orlando or not, but that's what came up when I did a search.
I don't know.
They have something called the Solar Bears.
I don't think that's an NHL team.
No. It's ECHL.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, it will be fun to see what happens if and when they do get hockey. And I'm just surprised at how adamant people are about, no, this will not work. Well, yeah, maybe you're right, but I don't know. And we haven't dealt with a major league sport in Las Vegas to see how it would work. So at some point it's going to happen, and I think, like I said before, it's either hockey or basketball, and hockey seems most likely at this point. So,
oh, so the Florida Panthers are in Sunrise, which is just west of Fort Lauderdale. So they are not in Orlando.
Okay. So different deal. Yeah. All right, well,
that's what happens when I have my iPad. I get all distracted and get lost in the Googler.
All right.
I'll put it down.
Let's move along to our next caller.
Hey, Tim and Michelle, this is Chris from Round Rock, Texas.
Hello, Chris.
Just got back from a quick guys trip to Vegas. We were there first week of December, the rodeo weekend. We were there for the rodeo. It happened to be rodeo. We stayed at Bally's, and I really think that Caesars screwed up with an offer. I am very much a low roller. I've gotten, like, you know, weekday in August comps at, like, the Rio. But, yeah, they sent me, it was a free weekend, or two free nights, Friday and Saturday at Bally's. I think they messed it up. Like, you know, sometimes they send the offer especially for, and then it has, like, the word your name in, you know, quotes. But
could be because December is largely a slow time.
Mm-hmm. But take advantage of that.
Hell yeah. Glad you were able to make use of it.
Hey, we'll take it. We stayed at the Jubilee Tower. Two of the biggest complaints I heard about Bally's was that the Jubilee Tower is loud and sometimes elevators don't work that well. Neither of these were the case. It was a great room.
Awesome.
The only kind of noise we heard was the Bellagio fountain. And that was fine because we got to see, you know, the fountain show. We got about half of the view of the fountains and the south strip. So Dallas, I know you, you've stayed there many times and you speak highly of it, and it's perfect location. You know, anything, you know, either end of the strip is really no more than a 15-minute walk, depending on Mosier's. And I usually say it's Flamingo, and I know the Flamingo is fine for what it is. It's the, you know, low end property that's just a place to stay. But you do notice some of the differences when you're staying at the Alley, especially the Jubilee Tower. Like, for instance, like the hallway carpet is nice and new, and that's kind of a nightmare at Flamingo, something you don't really notice until you stay at a nicer place. So we enjoyed Bally's. It's perfect. My buddies, they actually spent the afternoon at the spa, and one of the things that was cool in there is you can there's a lounge. You can actually watch like games. So they watch football while they were just relaxing. So sadly, I did not know there was football in there. I would have joined them as well. But one of the nice things about Bally's was that we went to the steakhouse, wanted to go to a nice meal our last night. So we hit up the BLT steak. I know pretty much every place has a steakhouse, and they're all good. They're all pricey. One of the things we liked about BLT is they had the tickets for tonight, you know, discount. I think it was like 30% off the total bill.
Cool.
So my buddies love the popovers, I guess, what they're famous for. And it's pretty darn awesome. So nice meal to finish our trip off. We spent some time at Ellis Island. I've never actually been there before. I was always kind of creeped out by the walk. But we went there for breakfast one morning. Breakfast was great and cheap. And one of my buddies noticed you can tell a lot of about the casino by the car that they're giving away when you walk in. And so like at Bally's, they have this beautiful Corvette, you know, the kind of car that makes you like go, wow, you know, check that out. At Ellis Island, they were giving away a Nissan Altima, which is a fine car. My wife actually drives an Altima, but yeah, it's, you live in a dream if you win an Altima. But Ellis Island was very, very unassuming, good gambling in terms of the table games. Cheap beers, too, delicious beers. We during football games, they had like 20-ounce glasses of their whatever brew they want, you know, whatever brew they make, were a dollar. And we also went downtown one night to Main Street Station, and same deal there. Their beers, their 16-ounce, you know, awesome craft beers were, I bought a round of them for $5.25, and that was for three, so $1.75 each. Conversely, one of my buddies and I went to watch some of the football games at the MGM Grand Sportsbook. And we were just, you know, hanging out watching the late afternoon games, and the drink lady walks by. We actually didn't have any drink tickets. We didn't make our bets there. But my buddy's like, yeah, I'll get a, you know, a bottle of Coors Light. And a 12-ounce bottle of Coors Light was $10 at the MGM Sportsbook. So, you know, Ellis Island and Main Street Station versus, the big place sportsbooks, it's a little different in terms of the drinking. So this was actually my third trip this year. I used to be like a once a year guy, then my wife and I kind of transitioned to go twice a year the last couple of years. This time was my third trip. Probably not going to happen next year. We're probably going back to once a year. But one of the things that the gambling wasn't great. I was down a little bit, but I actually did much less gambling than I typically do because it was just fun to hang out with my buddies. You know, just so the company sometimes is much better than the actual game. We all love to win, but we just had a great time. You know, my buddies from high school, just, you know, joking around together, talking about old stuff, making new memories. And so it was a tremendous trip. Like I said, probably back to a once a year guy, and I'm hoping that once will be Vimp next October.
Yay!
And that's the dream at the moment. So nice trip, and I look forward to hearing what you guys talk about all the new Vegas-y stuff. So talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you for that report. Great stuff. And yeah, it's nice to find some of those cheap drinking options, especially when you're watching games and you're going to be drinking for a long, you know, extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Let's see. Anything else on Ellis Island? We haven't ventured over there in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time for me.
Yeah. I'll have to do that one of these trips. I like Bally's a lot for a place to stay. I hope they renovate the other tower one of these days.
Yeah, the location is fantastic.
Yeah, the Jubilee Tower, they've done a really good job with the remodel on that. And if they can do something similar with the Indigo Tower, that would be fantastic. So let's hope they do.
I really liked our room that we stayed in last time we were at Bally's, despite the view of the bazaar shops.
Yeah, the view wasn't great, but The room itself was very comfortable.
And it was quiet.
Clean and quiet. And, yeah,
convenient.
I've heard the noise thing, too, that some people hear noise from the club at the Cromwell.
Oh, Dre's,
yeah. Haven't experienced it yet, though, myself. The 2 times I've stayed there, it hasn't been bad. So who knows? Okay, next up.
Hey, Jim and Michelle, it's Jan. I called earlier about the high roller.
Yeah, you did.
I got super drunk on the high roller.
Yeah, you did.
I just wanted to clarify a few things. I'm sorry that I was so drunk. I'm still $32 drunk.
We like that. Say.
But we went to Raw happy hour afterward, and now like that soaked up some of the alcohol. But anyway, we had fun on the high roller. I think just my issue is like that it was too... It was a long time, and, like, sometimes you stopped, and, like, there's no way off, really, which is, like, freaking me out a little bit. But the drinks were super strong, and the bartender was really nice. And after a couple of drinks, it was a little bit better, at least. And my husband really liked it. He wants to do it again. But if he wants to do it again, I will wave to him from below, from below on the link. Anyway, we're going to take a rest now because she drank a lot. And it's only, like, 4 o'clock, so I don't know how that happened. But Vegas, I guess. Whatever. Anyway, we're in the wind, and it's really nice, and the bed is as buttery soft as your voice is. Anyway, I love listening to your show. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
We have buttery soft voices. I can't believe it's not butter voices. All right. Thanks for that. We appreciate it. Let's check in with Richard again.
Hey, Tim, Michelle. It's Richard again from Toronto. I have to say the stories of Carbone at Aria are true. The place is outstanding. Winter, the Caesar salad is amazing. It's filled with garlic. The croutons are amazing. As you're waiting for your meal, they bring out some salami, some pickle, cauliflower. The breads are unbelievable. Had the course the $65 veal parmesan, and it is worth it. I know it's a little crazy to say $65 for a veal parmesan, but it's a big portion. You'll share it with someone. Also had the spicy rigatoni with vodka and sauce. Again, another perfect dish. Actually, the waiter really recommended we have that with our meal. You're stuffed, and then they bring the dessert cart over, and everything was amazing. We couldn't have it. People next to us were having the bananas flambé, I think it is. It looked amazing. All the food there is superb. Highly recommend that everyone please, you know, try it out. And thank you.
All right. Thanks for that report. Thanks. We've been hearing wonderful things about Carbone.
And I want Italian food now.
I know. Makes me hungry. All right. Final call of the week. I forgot to use this last week. We received it a while ago, but always good to hear from this gentleman.
This is Pierre de Paris. I've come out of a podcast retirement to endorse a book. A book called The Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas. A book so good it needs no endorsements. Who am I kidding? It needs all the help it can get. So I've decided to follow the suggestion made in a recent Facebook thread in order to beat those damn debutantes of debauchery to it and record an introduction for the audiobook. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times to travel to Las Vegas. Call me Ishmael. Here is a weird one for you. He speaks in your voice, American, and there's a shine in his eyes that's halfway hopeful. All this happened, more or less. If you're going to read this, don't bother. Me, I'm waiting for the movie. Well, that's it. I'm sure Tim will offer some prize for the first one to identify all these quotes.
No, we won't.
As for me, I don't need any payment. Just mention me in your Nobel Prize acceptance speech. This is Pierre de Paris wishing you peace.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Good to hear from Pierre. It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen nearly enough. Thank you for that kind testimonial and endorsement for the book. And no, there is no prize. But I'm sure that someone will start a discussion on the Facebook group to identify all the things that he quoted from. All righty. Before we go, this week's Amazon.com listener purchase of the week. It was a tough choice. There were some interesting items. With the holidays just behind us, I decided to go with the Poo-Pourri toilet spray for $17. Do you know how this stuff works?
I have a vague idea. Poo-Pourri?
You spray in the toilet before you shit, and it keeps the smell down.
Ah.
That's how it supposedly works.
Okay, I thought it was after where you covered
up. No, this is before.
This is before.
Yeah, it's supposed to contain the smell. I know. Thank you for science.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't cure cancer, but we can keep the smell of your shit down. That's great.
Can you also buy that with maybe you touched your genitals hand sanitizer?
I think that's available on Amazon as well. I'm pretty sure. We will post a link in the show notes if you're interested in Poo-Pourri. Of course, if you're going to buy something through Amazon, as many of you have been during this holiday season, you can click through our link at 500bymidnight.com. Before you add things to your cart, we get a small cut and you don't have to pay anything extra. It's a great way to support the show. All righty. PayPal Karma donations this week. We've got a bunch of them. Monthly recurring donations from Dr. Vonks, Michael, and Chris.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you all very much for those recurring monthly donations. We got a Karma donation from Chris and Roseanne. Chris and Lorraine from Hull, England. Longtime listeners of the show. They said, thank you for your podcast and some wonderful entertainment over the last 8+ years of listening.
Thank you, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for sticking with us for that long. We do appreciate it. Happy holidays, Karma, from Wally.
Thank you, Wally.
Sir. A very generous Karma donation from Jay. Thank you, Jay. Michael with a Karma donation. His room at Flamingo was upgraded for $8 total, so he gave us Karma donation of the remainder amount from the $20 trick he was planning on using. thank you for that.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. And Karma donations from Rennell. Thank you, Rennell.
Thank you, Rennell.
And our friend John.
Oh, thanks, John.
Thanks, John. John's pulling a one-nighter in Las Vegas as we speak. What's the worst thing that could possibly happen during one night in Las Vegas?
Don't eat the sea bass.
Alrighty. So with that, let's wrap things up. You can find our website at 500bymidnight.com. You can email us if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions at 500@gmail.com. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And of course, our voicemail line is available to you anytime, day or night. We would love to hear from you at 702-866-9494. That's going to do it for this week. As always, thank you so much for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. We hope you had a lovely holiday season, and we got another holiday weekend just a couple days away.
Yep.
So I think we'll be recording yet another show for New Year's.
And we wish everyone a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone. And we hope that all of your Vegas wishes come true. Is that a cheesy way to end the show?
Sure. That was good.
All right. Talk to you next week, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye.